in the limelight.
Biden must recognize that the best way to protect U.S. personnel in Syria, Iraq, and elsewhere in the region is to take them out of the West Asia region. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written jointly by Media Benjamin and Nicholas J.S. Davis writers. This article is published under the heading, Biden's reckless Syria bombing is not the diplomacy he promised. Here's more on that. The recent U.S. bombing of Syria immediately puts the policies of the newly formed Biden administration into sharp relief. Why is this administration bombing the sovereign nation of Syria? Why is it bombing anti-terror forces who pose absolutely no threat to the United States and are actually involved in fighting Daesh? If this is about getting more leverage vis-a-vis Iran, why hasn't the Biden administration just done what it has said it would do? Rejoin the Iran nuclear deal and de-escalate the West Asia region conflicts. The Pentagon made the incredible claim that this action aims to de-escalate the overall situation in both eastern Syria and Iraq. This was countered by the Syrian government, which condemned the illegal attack on its territory and said the strikes will lead to consequences that will escalate the situation in the region. The strike was also condemned by governments of China and Russia. A member of Russia's Federation Council warned that such escalations in the area could lead to a massive conflict. Ironically, Jen Psaki, now Biden's White House spokesperson, questioned the lawfulness of attacking Syria in 2017 when it was the Trump administration doing the bombing. Back then, she asked, "What is the legal authority for strikes? But Syria is a sovereign country." The air strikes were supposedly authorized by the 20-year-old post-9/11 authorization for the U.S. Use of Military Forces, AUMF, legislation that Representative Barbara Lee has been trying for years to repeal since it has been misused, according to the Congresswoman, to justify waging war in at least 7 different countries against a continuously expanding list of targetable adversaries, unquote. The United States of America claims that its targeting of the anti-terror forces in Syria was based on intelligence provided by the Iraqi government. Defense Secretary Austin told reporters, "We are confident that target was being used by the same militia that concluded the strike against the U.S. and coalition forces." But a report by Middle East Eye, MEE, suggests that Iran has strongly urged the anti-terror forces it supports in Iraq to refrain from such attacks or any warlike actions that could derail its sensitive diplomacy to bring the U.S. and Iran back into compliance with the 2015 International Nuclear Agreement, or JCPOA. "None of our known factions carried out this attack," a senior Iraqi anti-terror force commander told MEE. "The Iranian orders have not changed regarding attacking the American forces, and the Iranians are still keen to maintain calm with the Americans until they see how the new administration will act," he added. The inflammatory nature of this U.S. attack on Iranian-backed Iraqi anti-terror forces, who are an integral part of Iraq's armed forces and have played a critical role against Daesh, was implicitly acknowledged in the U.S. decision to attack them in Syria instead of in Iraq. Some analysts say the bombing may have been intended to strengthen the U.S. hand in its negotiations with Iran over the nuclear deal. The strike, the way I see, was meant to set the tone with Taliban and dent its inflated confidence ahead of negotiations, said Bilal Saab, a former Pentagon official who is currently a senior fellow with the Middle East Institute. But this attack will make it more difficult to resume negotiations with Iran. It comes at a delicate moment when the Europeans are trying to orchestrate a compliance of compliance maneuver to revive the JCPOA. This strike will make the diplomatic process more difficult. Showing bipartisan support for attacking sovereign nations, key Republicans on the Foreign Affairs Committee, such as Senator Marco Rubio and Representative Michael McCaul, immediately welcomed the attacks. So did some Biden supporters, who crassly displayed their partiality to bombing by a Democratic president. Party organizer Amy Siskind tweeted, "So different having military action under Biden. No middle school level threats on Twitter. Trust Biden and his team competence." Biden supporter Susan Limnen said, "Such a quiet attack. No drama, no TV coverage of bombs hitting targets. No comments on how presidential Biden is. What a difference." Thankfully, though, some members of Congress are speaking out against the recent U.S. strikes. "We cannot stand up for congressional authorization before military strikes only when there is a Republican president," Congressman Rocano tweeted. He added, "The administration should have sought congressional authorization here. We need to work to extricate from the West Asia region, not escalate." Peace groups around the U.S. are echoing that call. Representative Barbara Lee and Senators Bernie Sanders, Tim Kaine, and Chris Murphy also released statements either questioning or condemning the U.S. recent strikes. Americans should remind President Biden that he promised to prioritize diplomacy or military action as the primary instrument of his foreign policy. Biden should recognize that the best way to protect U.S. personnel is to take them out of West Asia region. He should also recognize that U.S. troops have no right to be in Syria, still protecting the oil on the orders of Donald Trump. After failing to prioritize diplomacy and rejoin the Iran nuclear agreement, Biden has now, barely a month into his presidency, reverted to the use of military force in a region already shattered by two decades of U.S. warmaking. This is not what he promised in his campaign, and it is not what the American voted for.